Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and
we're so glad that you're here this morning. We're so glad that you're here today to worship the Lord with us together corporately. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Now, if it isn't obvious, Christmas at Northwoods is in full swing. So how many of us are looking forward to this Christmas season here at Northwoods? Yeah, come on. How many of us are looking forward to that snow? Yeah, I thought I was going to be alone. Well, you know, yes, Christmas is a beautiful season, but I know we've shared from the platform before that for some of us, it might be a difficult season walking into this holiday season. Perhaps we're away from family. Perhaps we've got some broken relationships. Perhaps we've lost someone close to our hearts. Perhaps some of us, we're just walking through a tough season right now. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but one of the things that I love about the Lord is that He knows. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And you see, the beauty of that is that we don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on this mask, and maybe we do pretend with our friends. I know I've been there. But the Lord knows exactly what's going on in our minds and our hearts, and He cares for us. And the beauty of it all is that He meets us right where we're at. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your burdens onto the Lord because He cares for us. So church, over these next few minutes, moments that we have, just worshiping the Lord in song, I just want to invite you to lift your hands with me. And again, I want to encourage you this morning that whatever you're facing today, God is with you. God is with us today. We don't have to walk through it alone. Lord, we love you and we praise you.
The storm inside, it brings me to my knees. Nowhere to hide. This weight is crippling. Come speak to the sea. It's raging inside of me, and all of this worry, to you I will release.
Come on, we say,
cast my cares at your feet, take it.
Peace.
sorrow tries to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain, all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. Come on, sing it out, my fear. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stay. Oh,
continue to praise Him for that this morning.
Say hello to a couple people around you as you do.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Northwoods. This is my favorite part where everybody's chatting with each other just before we get started. Well, we are so glad you're here today. My name is Janine, and we're glad you joined us as we are kicking off a brand new series called Christmas Characters. Today, we're going to look at the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary. And we hope you'll come back next week as we look at it through the perspective of Joseph. I'm really excited to see what Pastor John brings us through with this new series. Well, hey, if you are new to Northwoods and you're visiting for the first time, whether you're a guest of someone or you just decided to check us out on your own, we would love to connect with you. And we have a few ways that we can do that. First, you can text the word new to the number on your screen and someone will reach out to you soon. Then, following to the service today, head out to one of our New Here kiosks where we have people there who are excited to meet you. They want to tell you hi, and they want to answer your questions. So head out there, and let's get connected. Now, for everyone else who is not visiting or new, open the connection card in your Northwoods mobile app. Now, the connection card is just one part of the mobile app. There's so much more. It's your gateway to all things Northwoods. It's in the mobile app that you can register for events, that you can find volunteer opportunities, prayer resources, sermon notes, and so much more. It's also an easy place where you can do your giving, simple and easy. So let us know you're here, and then check out all the other possibilities that are available. Now, I have one possibility you're going to want to know about really soon. Tickets are now available for the 2022 Christmas production, and you can get them right there in your app or online. Here's a little taste of what you can expect from a Christmas at Northwoods.
Experience the magic, memories, and true message of Christmas. A musical production celebrating this special season. 9 free shows at Northwoods Church. December 16th through the 22nd. Details and tickets available online at northwoods.christmas.
Well, as you saw, we're going to have 9 productions from December 16th through the 22nd. And our team has been planning, building, praying, and rehearsing for months. All because history has taught us that people are more likely to accept an invitation to church at Christmas time than any other time of the year. And the Christmas production is sure to wow and inspire every time, making it a perfect opportunity for all of us to invite everyone we know. So get your tickets online or on the app and start inviting your friends, your neighbors, your family, everyone you know to come and join you for the Christmas production. Now, the Christmas production is more than just what happens right here on this platform. It's also all about the environment that we all create together. It's about the people who are welcoming our guests as they come onto the parking lot with a smile and helping them navigate to a parking spot. It's the people who are opening the door and welcoming them to Northwoods with a warm smile. It's the people who are taking their tickets and helping them find their way around this really big church that can be rather overwhelming sometimes. And it's the people who are welcoming them into the auditorium and helping them find their seats. And more importantly, almost than any of that, are the people who are holding their babies so that they can come and hear about the love of Jesus completely worry-free. So there is a role for everyone here. So go into the app or online, get signed up for one of the hundreds of roles that it takes to make this Christmas production happen. We want you on our team. We could never have this Christmas production without your faithful giving. So thank you so much for your commitment and helping us to make this happen. We hope that the variety of different options available make it easy for you to sustain whatever commitment God has led you to. Now, for those of you who participate in end-of-year giving, donations must be completed and or postmarked by December 31st. And for any asset gifts such as stocks or insurance proceeds, you can reach out to our finance department no later than December 23rd. All right, that's all I have for you this morning. But before I hand you off to Pastor John, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Christmas season. Lord, that we can come together and we can celebrate the birth of your Son that you freely give us as a gift, Lord, that you have grace and mercy on us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us that perfect gift of your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Northwoods, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing good? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Good time with family, food, a little bit of football. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we are kicking off a Christmas series this morning as we close in on Christmas and the end of the year. And we're going to do that in just a few moments. But before we get there, I want to share just a couple of quick updates with you. this morning. The first one is, you know, for the last several weeks, you've seen out in the lobby, we had the Operation Christmas Child, where we were collecting shoe boxes. And those were sent off this past week. They were shipped out. And Northwoods, this year, Northwoods sent 4,017 shoe boxes. That's incredible. That's something to be proud of. Great job, Northwoods. That's 4,017 children who will be blessed around the world and be introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, great job. It's amazing what we can do when we come together around one common cause. Now, I also want to give you an update this morning about a recent decision we made to close our Chillicothe campus. Over the last year, through a lot of prayer and conversation, it became apparent that the best path forward for our Chillicothe campus would be to pursue purchasing a building and becoming an autonomous church plant. And so Keith, who is our Chillicothe campus pastor, along with our help, started looking into buying a building. And after a long search, we found a building and purchased it. But the building was just the first step. It's not only going to require a lot of renovation, but then everything that's going to happen as you become an autonomous church. And so we decided, after purchasing the building, we decided that in the interest of caring well for Keith and his wife Pam, that we were going to give them some time away to rest and recharge before they moved into the next season with Chillicothe and an autonomous church. And during their time, Keith and Pam were able to, they were able to rest up, seek the Lord, but they got clarity from the Lord during their time that they are not called to lead the Chillicothe campus forward. Now, I want you to know Keith is a pastor at heart. He loves this church. We love him, and we've been blessed to have him here at Northwoods. But he has peace in his heart that God has not called him to be the senior pastor of an autonomous church. And so personally, even though it was a little bit hard to hear, I really, in our leadership, we really appreciate Keith's transparency and honesty and just his willingness to be honest about that. So after more conversation and prayer with Keith, we decided that the best decision moving forward was to close the Chillicothe campus. And while the outcome is different than we had envisioned, I can tell you that our leadership is at peace with the decision, and we feel that it's what's best for all parties involved. So I just want to say up front, for those of you who were attending Chillicothe but are now back here in Peoria with us, I just want to say thank you for your investment in that campus over the last 9 years. You know, even though it seems like, okay, it just ended, there's still a lot of things to be thankful for that God has done over the last 9 years. There's many souls that were saved for eternity, and you were a part of making that happen. And so we want to say thank you. Now, church, if you would, let's just take a moment and let's pray for Keith and for Pam and for all those who will be coming back this way from Chillicothe. And so, Lord, again, I thank you, Lord, that even when things do not go as maybe as we had planned, I thank you, Lord, that we can trust that you are still in control. You are still sovereign. And so, Lord, we just thank you for everything that you've done over the past 9 years through the Chillicothe campus and that community. We thank you for all the fruit that we've seen, the souls saved, people being baptized, people being set free. We thank you for all of that, Lord. Thank you that that matters. And Lord, we also pray in the days ahead. I thank you for Keith and for Pam. I thank you for their investment they've made. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide them and direct them in the days ahead. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that you're in control. We give it all to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, today, like I said, we kick off our Christmas character series. Now, when I think of famous Christmas characters, there's many that come to mind. There's probably many that come to mind for you too. Characters like, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, the Grinch, Kevin McAllister, George Bailey, and on and on. And so I thought it would be fun this morning, before we kind of hop into some of our biblical Christmas characters, to do a little Christmas character trivia. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quote from a movie. Now, you'll probably know the Christmas movie, but what this will make it a little bit more difficult. I want you to see if you can tell me what Christmas character said that. Okay, so you get it. These are going to be from movies you recognize, most of them. But I want you to know, I want you to see if you know the character who said it, and you can shout it out. So, okay, so here's the first quote. Put it up there. You smell like beef and cheese. Buddy the Elf. There you go. Buddy the Elf. You got one. That was simple. All right. Okay, next one. Remember, George, no man is a failure who has friends. Holy cow, you guys got that. Clarence, you got it. There we go. Clarence, remember, he was the angel in that movie, right? Okay, this is... Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. Now, I think, so you're right. It's Kevin McAllister. Go ahead and put it up. But I forget like the gangster's name in the movie who said it. Like there's that gangster who says it and Kevin just kind of mouths along with it. I don't know what his name is, but we're going to go with Kevin McAllister for that one. Now, these next two might be kind of difficult because these aren't like as mainstream of movies, okay? I personally love this quote. So it goes like this. I got a Turbo Man for Johnny months ago. It's nestled safely under our tree. Whoa, he's got it. Ted, there it is. Yes, Ted from the movie. Is it Jingle All the Way? Is that what it was, right? With Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's an incredible movie. If you don't have that one in your Christmas lineup, you need to. Now, here's a really difficult one. At least I thought it was difficult. A toy is never truly happy until it's loved by a child. I'm not hearing it. Now, it's from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the movie, but it is from, go ahead and put it up there, here's the character who said it, King Moonracer. I don't even know this, I remember seeing him, I think he's the king over the island of misfit toys, right? But I don't know if you really hear his name a whole lot in the movie. So anyways, Christmas characters. Again, there's Christmas characters that surround the season that we think of just like that. You know, Buddy the Elf, Kevin McAllister, and you go on and on and on. But just as there are biblical characters that surround the Christmas season, there are lots of biblical characters that surround the true reason we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. And so the next couple of weeks leading up to Christmas, we're going to explore the lives of some of the characters surrounding the Christmas story. And it's not because they are the point of the story, but because their lives ultimately point us back to Jesus. So today we're going to look at Mary. Next week we'll look at Joseph. In the third week, my brother Nathan, he's going to look at the shepherds. And then after the Christmas show is over, we're going to have a special Christmas Eve service here on Saturday night, December 24th, and we will look at the wise men. So this morning, we're going to go back in time, and we're going to look at the details surrounding the announcement of Jesus' birth to Mary. And you know, as I was studying the announcement of Jesus' birth this week, I realized that there is a whole lot about God's timing. If you just kind of look at the angel coming and making the announcement to Mary and the story, just the details, there are many mentions of time. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like God's timing was a little bit off? You ever had the thought like, God, you're just, I wish you would just hurry up. Like you're taking a really long time. Maybe you've lost track of time. Have you ever wished God would just hurry up and come through? Listen, these are feelings that we all experience from time to time. And while there are no perfect answers to all the questions we have, as we dig into this story today, we're going to discover several truths about God's timing that I believe that will ultimately help us to trust his timing. So here's truth number one. God is always right on time. God is always right on time. Now, the announcement of Jesus' birth The piece we're going to look at today takes place in Luke chapter 1. But you need to know, and many of you already know this, but let's just remember that leading up to Luke chapter 1, there have been 400 years of God being silent. No prophetic revelation, no miracles, no angelic visitations, silence. 400 years. Now, the people of that time knew that God had promised the Messiah. But imagine living in that time and seeing year after year pass and it's nothing but silence. I mean, they might have been wondering, like God, where are you? You know, I see this promise of a Messiah who's going to come, but year after year after year, nothing. Like, time's ticking. Have you forgot? What's going on? We're ready for you to fulfill this promise. Ever been in that space? That's what we call God's waiting room. It's the place where we get in a hurry, but God's not. You know, some of us today are in a hurry to graduate. Some of us are in a hurry to get married. In a hurry to start a family. In a hurry to land that job. In a hurry to close that big deal. You're in a hurry, but it doesn't seem like God is. And you're waiting. And it seems like God's timing is off. But if we learn anything from the birth of Jesus, it's that God is never early, never late, but always right on time. So it's been 400 years of silence. But then in a period of 6 months, the angel Gabriel, one of two angels mentioned by name in the Bible, shows up twice. First to a priest named Zechariah to let him know that his wife Elizabeth will become pregnant in her old age with a boy that they are to name John, who is going to prepare the way for Jesus. And then 6 months later, he appears to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus. And I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about this timing. Was God early? Was God late? Look at what Paul said. And I love how it says this in the NLT. But when the right time came, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. And God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I want you to understand, God was right on time. It says when the timing was right. He's always right on time. Maybe not according to our timetable and our schedule, but he's always right on time according to his timetable and his schedule. So listen, that means that while you're in the waiting room, even though it's never easy to wait, you can trust God because you know that he will be right on time. Now listen, if you're in the waiting room today, let me give you a couple of other thoughts to hang on to. Here's a waiting room thought. Not now does not mean never. Not now does not mean never. You know, there have been times when my kids have come and asked me for things and say, you know, can I have this? And I say, yeah, not right now. And there'll be times where they just break down and start crying. I say, hold up. I didn't say no. I didn't say never. I just said not now. So chill out. You know, and I found that sometimes I turn into one of my kids when it seems like God says not now. God says, no, not now. We're going to wait on that. Not now. And then I get into, you know, oh my gosh, not now. I guess that must mean never. No, God isn't saying never. He's just saying not now. Okay, here's another waiting room thought. God's patience always has a purpose. God's patience always has a purpose. Let me show you this in another scripture. 2 Peter 3:8 through 9. But you must not forget this one thing. Any place it says in the Bible, don't forget this. You might want to pay attention. You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. Does it sound like our timetable? And he says the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So in this instance, God is waiting patiently for people to repent. His patience always has a purpose. And you can trust that his patience, when it seems like he's patiently biding his time, has a purpose in your life. Often his patience is his way of deepening our trust and building our character. You know, I've found that many times when it feels like I'm waiting on God in my life, that it's actually that God's waiting on me. God, I've been waiting on you. You say, no, actually, I'm waiting on you because there's some things that need to happen in your life. You know, sometimes we want God to just bless us in a moment. And I heard another guy preach about this recently, and it really stuck with me. But he said, sometimes we forget that there's always a backside to every blessing. And that's what God's preparing us for sometimes. So think about it. You think, you know what? I wish they just give me that promotion at work. Why don't they just promote me? I'm ready to go. I have the skills. I'm good. What are we waiting for? Well, you might have the skills. You might be ready for the promotion. But you know what? Sometimes there's a backside to the blessing. And God's saying, you know what? There's still some things you don't work on here. Because you know what? With that promotion is going to come criticism. With that promotion, you're going to be some nasty emails probably. With that promotion is going to come blame when things go wrong. And I'm preparing you now to be able to handle the backside of that blessing. Understand, God's patience always has a purpose. So just a couple of thoughts to keep in mind as you're in the waiting room. So the first truth about God's timing, God is always right on time. He's right on time. He's never early, never late. He's always right on time. Let's talk about the second truth about God's timing. Truth number two, God's timing is rarely convenient. Rarely convenient. Let's pick up the story in Luke 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Then it says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So Mary's shocked, like there's an angel, and he says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And so I think there's a sense in which not only is she shocked at what's happening right now, but she's wondering what's about to happen next. You know, I think of it as being similar to those times maybe when, you know, a child comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I love you so much. You're just a great mom, great dad. And you're going, okay, I get that. What's coming next? Now, all those things might be accurate, but again, we're thinking what's coming next. Now, certainly, I don't want to say that the angel is somehow buttering Mary up for what's about to come. She is highly favored, and the Lord is with her. But the fact that an angel has come to visit her and greets her, scholars believe that she would have had a sense that this means she is about to be used by God in an extraordinary way. So she might be wondering, what is about to come next? Well, let's see. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. That's the God we serve, it's Jesus. His kingdom will never end. So the angel announces that she will give birth to the Son of God. Now, this is a big deal. This is an incredible honor. In fact, in that day, young Jewish girls grew up, especially the ones who knew the prophecies about the Messiah come to the line of David, and there's much evidence that Mary knew these prophecies. Young girls would have grown up hoping that they would have the privilege of mothering the Messiah. So this is an incredible honor, but it's not really the most convenient time. Why? It says, because Mary was pledged to a man named Joseph. Other translations will use words like engaged or betrothed. So let's stop and consider what it means to be betrothed at that time. While being betrothed, what didn't mean that you're married, it was as binding as marriage. And so it would take divorce to break this agreement. And this arrangement would typically last about a year. And it was common and pretty typical for there to be no sexual relations during the betrothal period. So here is Mary, betrothed, discovering she's about to become pregnant by a miracle. Again, while she's not married. I want you to just kind of imagine explaining that one to mom and dad. Okay, hey, mom, dad, okay, listen, I want you to just sit down, take a seat real quick. Just calm down, it's going to be okay. I love you. I'm pregnant. Now, okay, now hold on. Calm down, okay? I'm still a virgin. Okay, and hold up, and that's still a little bit more here, just catch your breath. It's God's son. I'm just going to imagine that's probably not going to go over super well. And, you know, an announcement like this is like, what? And again, it could have caused her to be sent away from her family for a time. The fact that she's pregnant. It's going to bring shame. At least if she were married, she wouldn't have to try and explain why she's pregnant. This is not the most convenient time. And if you read the rest of the Christmas story, you'll find there's all kinds of inconveniences involved. I mean, ladies who've ever given birth, think about this. Mary was 9 months pregnant and had to ride a donkey for 70 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. I don't know what it's like to give birth, but I'm just going to ask, like, how many of you would have signed up for that? Yes, please, when I'm 9 months pregnant, put me on a donkey and let's go for a 70-mile trot. That just sounds miserable. If I'm married, I'm saying I'm honored, but the timing is not really convenient. But yet, this is the time God chose. And we must come to terms with the reality that God's timing is not always convenient. You know, we live in a culture of convenience where everything trends towards ease and instant gratification. For example, you got stores that are open 24/7, 365. Food delivered to your doorstep. Grocery orders that get placed online and someone brings them out to your car and puts them in your trunk for you. You got purchases you can make same day delivery. You make the purchase, boom, it shows up at your house. It's a culture of convenience. And so living in this culture, I've just found that many times we get really frustrated anytime anything is inconvenient. And that's why we need to grasp this truth, because if we always expect God to be convenient in his timing, we're going to continually be frustrated with God's timing. God's timing is rarely convenient. God is not DoorDash. He's not Walmart online orders. He's not Amazon Prime. He's God, and he operates according to the times he has chosen. Again, chosen is a key word there. This means that just because God's timing isn't convenient doesn't mean that the timing hasn't been chosen. You see, if we know that his timing is chosen and determined by him, then we can rest in his timing and trust that even if it's inconvenient, that he is working for our good and for our benefit. So God is always right on time. God's timing is rarely convenient. And then let's look at truth number three. God reveals details over time, not all at once. God reveals details over time, not all at once. Let's look back at the story. So angel comes to Mary, says, you're gonna give birth to the Son of God. And she says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. He will overshadow you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Some translations say, for nothing is impossible with God. Now again, let's try and put ourselves in Mary's shoes and think about all the questions we might have had if you had that announcement given to you. You're going to become pregnant by a miracle. Now I might have had questions about but how does that happen? Now, all I really said is the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you and you become pregnant. It doesn't really go into the details of how it's going to happen. It just says, it's going to be a miracle. But then she might have had questions okay, how am I going to explain this to Joseph? I mean, you can't keep this secret forever. You can wear sweatpants and baggy sweatshirts for a long time, but at some point, Joseph's going to know. And he will know this child is not his because they haven't been sexually active. So she has to be thinking, how am I going to explain this to Joseph? And how can I expect him to believe that through a miracle, I'm pregnant? Here's another question. What happens if Joseph divorces me? Again, like we said, while betrothal wasn't marriage, it was considered binding, and the only way out was divorce. And at that time, Joseph would have every right to divorce her. Their law stated that if a woman was caught in having an affair, in fact, she could have been stoned to death. So what happens if Joseph divorces me? What's my future going to look like here? Another question, this is one I think of. How are we supposed to raise the Son of God? Imperfect parents raising a perfect child. How is that going to work? I really hope I don't mess up your son somehow. See, we read the story today, and we know the end of the story. Mary didn't know the end. Mary didn't know. That's not the song, right? Mary, did you know? I'm going to write a new one. Mary didn't know, okay? And this is instructive because God often reveals details over time, not all at once. How often do we wish God would just give us all the details up front? God just, yes, I'm ready to follow you. I know you're asking me, to do this, but can you just kind of give me all the details about how this is going to work out? Give me all those details. Yeah, I'm just telling where to sign. Give me all the details first, though. It's usually not how it works. Usually you sign first, and then as you walk it out, you get the details explained. How often do we wish God would just give us the details up front? From an early age, I remember praying. I remember even when I was in maybe fifth, sixth grade praying, that God would just show me who I was going to marry. This was really important to me. I remember saying, God, can you just show me a picture of the person I'm going to marry? I just want to know, who is it? Then I would secretly hope to see, whatever girl I had a crush on at the time. This was a big deal to me. God, I just want to know the details. We want to know the future. But that's not how God works. Now, it might cause us to ask the question, why doesn't God just give us all the details up front? Well, here's a couple reasons why. Here's one reason I can think of. Because it would most likely overwhelm us. It would overwhelm us. Think about it with Mary. If God had given her all the details, here's what he would have ended up sharing. Okay, he said, as you're nearing the end of your pregnancy, Caesar Augustus is going to call for a census. You're going to go to Bethlehem, you know, on the donkey, 9 months pregnant. And there you'll give birth on your own. No family, no midwife, in a cave with a bunch of animals. And then, it's gonna be great. And then Herod's gonna try to kill your son. So you're gonna end up fleeing to another country. And then you're gonna live there until Herod dies. Do you want me to keep going or do you want me to stop here? This is the beginning of the story. Not to mention that Jesus is gonna be crucified later on in life. Let me just ask, do you think it would have been overwhelming for Mary to know all the details? You bet. And all she really needed to know is that God would be with her. He said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. He gave her the one thing she needed to know. I'm going to be with you. And that's enough. And you know what? Even though we might struggle with it, that's all we really need to know. That God will be with us. He'll be with you. Here's another reason I think that God doesn't give us all the details, because we wouldn't have to trust God. If God gave us all the details, there would be no need for us to trust God. And life is all about learning to trust God day by day. This is one of the ways that God teaches us to trust him. It's by walking with him and trusting him with the details that we don't know, we can't understand. But again, keep this in mind. Even though we don't get the details in a moment, we can trust that God will give us the information we need each step of the way. You know, the book of Psalms talks about his word being a light unto our path, you know, a lamp unto our feet. Think about a lamp or even like a lantern. If you go out in the dark and walk with a lantern, the light ain't going to light the whole path for you, is it? It's going to show you the next step. And so as you're carrying it, you take the next step, and then there's light for the next step. That's how it happens. God gives enough light for you to take the next step. And as you take that step, there's going to be more light to show you the next step. And so some of you are like, you know what? I can't see all the way down there. Yeah, you're right. You can't. But if you will take the next step, there's going to be more light, and God will give you what to do next. So you just keep walking with him and trusting him. So three truths about God's timing. He's always right on time. His timing is rarely convenient, and God reveals details over time, not all at once. But now, knowing these truths about God's timing, what does God want us to do? Well, I've been touching on it all throughout this message. And so as we close, here's the takeaway. You probably already know it. Takeaway is this: trust his timing. Trust his timing. I want you to look at Mary's response. So she hears all of this, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. That's an incredible response. Thinking about all this, it's going to be inconvenient. I don't have all the details. But Mary, she's full of faith and trust. That's an answer of trust. I'm your servant. In fact, if we were to put the character of Mary up on the screen today, you know, we kind of went quotes with Christmas characters, it would be this for Mary today. I am the Lord's servant. Wherever you go, I will follow. Whatever you say, I will do. I'm in. I trust you, God. And even though it may not seem like the right time, even though it may not be convenient, and even though I may not know all the details, I'm your servant. I'm willing to trust. And listen, if Mary could do that, and scholars tell us that this time Mary would have been somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. If Mary, a young teenager, could say, you know what? I don't, there's a lot I don't know here, but I'm in and I trust you. So can we. I trust your timing, God. You know, when I think of trust, I think of a story that the late Billy Graham once shared. He said, I once heard about a man some years ago who was rolling a wheelbarrow back and forth in a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. Thousands of people were shouting him on. So he would wheel the wheelbarrow across, come back. Then he threw a sack of dirt in the wheelbarrow, rolled it over, came back. Everyone's going nuts, going crazy. Holy cow, how's this guy doing it? He turned to the crowd and says, how many of you believe I can roll a person across Niagara Falls? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I believe it, man. You can do it. There's a guy in the front going nuts like, yeah, 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 absolutely. This tightrope walker says, all right, come on up here and get in. And I was like, well, I believe it's someone else, not me. But you know, here's what you find about that man. Although he believed in the tightrope walker, his actions show that he wasn't willing to trust him with his life. And in many ways, I think it's the same way with Jesus. Many times I found I'm in the spot where I say, Jesus, I believe in you. I'm going to follow you. But when it really comes down to it, I find sometimes I have a hard time really trusting him. And today I want you to hear the Lord saying, you can trust me and my timing. He's always right on time, even though it may not be convenient, and even though he may not reveal all the details, you can trust in his timing because he's good. He's working for your good. He's working for your benefit. You can trust his timing. And so as we close, I want to ask you to stand. And I believe there's some places in our lives today where we need to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I have been in a hurry and I've been tired of waiting, but you know what? Today, I'm handing it to you and I choose to trust you in your timing. You know what? There's some of us who are really in a hurry. I want to say this to you in this moment, that it's often when we get in a hurry and get out in front of God that we make the biggest mistakes and end up doing things that we regret. There's all kinds of stories of that in the Bible. Don't get out ahead of God. You might be chomping at the bit saying, I don't know what you're doing. I need to go. But you get out ahead of God, it's not going to go the way you want it. So rest and trust him. And so whatever that is in your heart today, you say, you know what? I've had a hard time trusting you with this. Whatever that is for you. I just want you right now, heads bowed, in a moment of surrender, I want you to release that to the Lord. You just say to the Lord, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with this, Lord. I trust your timing. And just like Mary said, I am your servant. I trust you. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you. That the one thing we find in your word is that you are trustworthy. You are worthy of our trust. And so, Lord, I pray that as we release those places to you where we feel like I'm tired of waiting, we're in a hurry, Lord, I thank you that we can trust that you have already chosen. You've already gone before. You know the timing. You're always right on time. I thank you that we can trust you in your timing. And I pray that would always be the response of our heart, similar to Mary, that, Lord, we are your servant. That is our prayer today. Lord, we are your servant. We trust you. Pray that you would lead us. You would guide us. And I thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead. And Lord, I pray that as we trust you each step of the way, I pray you would pour out your blessing. on every person listening today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our time this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, tell the Lord thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We trust you. Northwood's so good to be with you today. And as always, if you need prayer for anything this morning, we're going to have a prayer team down front. We would love to pray with you. Whatever needs you have, just come on down front. And for those of you online as well, same thing. We've got a prayer team. Would love to pray with you there with the prayer team. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next Sunday.
Thank you so much, John. What a great way again to kick off this holiday season. And again, I just want to remind you that if you are looking to come to our Christmas show, we have free tickets available for that at northwoods.christmas. So be sure to invite friends and family and get those tickets today. Now, also, I want to swing back around to something that happened last week. We had kind of a surprise for all of you. We released as Northwoods Worship our first single, Holy Spirit Come, which is a song that has been so touching to me in this season, and I hope that it has been encouraging to you as well. So be sure to check it out on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever it is that you stream and listen to music. Go look up Northwoods Worship and Holy Spirit Come and be encouraged this week. We'll see you next Sunday.